a new sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast and the whole Locked On podcast network is Blue Chew, a performance-enhancing supplement. Performance-enhancing as in the bed. I am a 21-year-old male hosting the Locked On Pacers podcast, so unfortunately I do not need this yet. But if you need this, nothing wrong with that. You should use Blue Chew. It is spelled B-L-U Chew. You can get that at bluechew.com. It has FDA-approved ingredients like Viagra and Cialis. It can work anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. They're chewable. They're prescribed online. They ship straight to your door in discreet packaging. None of that awkward in-person doctor visit or anything like that. No pharmacy waiting. They're made right here in the USA, and they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And if you're listening to Locked On Pacers podcast, you can use the promo code NBA. Get your first shipment free. It's the promo code NBA. You get a get your first shipment free. The only thing you have to do is pay for the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Use the promo code NBA to get your first shipment free, and it costs just $5 for shipping. Now, today's podcast on Corey Joseph.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am a staff writer, IndyCornrows.com, and the co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can check out all my articles on the Pacers on IndyCornrows.com. There have been three of them this week, I know. Back for some more writing, probably three times a week for the foreseeable future. One on how the Pacers fit in the Eastern Conference. Another one on a possible trade target for the Pacers, which they might not do. We'll get to that a little bit later in this podcast. And a preview of their first pre-draft workouts with Landry Shamet and Brandon McCoy, the two key ones of their first pre-workout. The other guys are probably not draft picks, undrafted free agents probably. Maybe they'll be signed. Who knows? But to start today's podcast, and really the main focus of today's podcast, is a player recap for Corey Joseph. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll get right to it. Corey Joseph is probably the sixth or seventh man off the Pacers bench, one of the most consistent players on the team all season long. Solid defense, just an overall all-around just consistent player, averaged 8 points, three assists, and three rebounds per game. I would hesitate to say he's the sixth man of the year only because Domantas Sabonis, who had a great year stepping in for Miles Turner in a lot of games. But Kojo did a nice job stepping in for Darren Collison during his injury absence. His points had a little bit of an uptick when Collison was hurt for 11 games. And he had his probably best game of the year in Darren Collison's absence on March 3rd against the Wizards. You might remember that game as the game where Oladipo closed it out and Corey Joseph ended up with a great block or defensive play, really back-to-back times with Bradley Beal. I thought he was great that game. He had 16 points and 5 rebounds, but his key was 7 of 12, and again, it was end-of-game defense. Kojo made come up with a late steal, and a nice job guarding Bradley Beal straight up at the end of the game to close it out. Other good part of Kojo's dose this season was he was really the bench unit leader. Him and Lance were the two guys who came off the bench most, played together the most. They didn't have a great plus-minus, but I thought Joseph brought a little bit of stability to the chaoticness of Lance Stephenson. He brought this calming presence, this veteran presence. Joseph, you know, is this will be now his eighth year in the NBA, coming into the 2018-19 season. This was his seventh season. But he's been on teams like Toronto and San Antonio, and just brings a very calming presence in a way Lance did not. Lance is a very erratic player, emotional, hot streaks, cold streaks. Joseph's very even-keeled, even-lining. His basketball IQ is through the roof. You could see it, too, at times where he got Lance going to make certain plays. He was always knew where to make the right play, the right pass, whatever it is. He was kind of the best guy for that. And fortunately, we already know he'll be back for the Pacers next season. He picked up his $7.95 million option to return to the Pacers. My guess is he did that because there'll be more free agent money next season if he puts up the same year he had this year. He probably had an overall down year compared to his career. You know, I don't know what his career total, so it was a little bit less in career points, a little bit less in career assists, about the same in past couple years in assists, and a little more rebounds. He played more minutes, but he shot the ball a little less overall, and his worst, I guess actually his career worst out of the regular season, field goal percentage, But a pretty even kill. 3-point percentage, same as almost last season, 35% from three, 42 from the field, 27 minutes a game. You know, I think maybe a slight down year, but nothing that's not solvable. One, if he gets more minutes or more minutes with the starters, put it that way. Maybe not more minutes, but more minutes with Oladipo. Or two, just, you know, I'm not sure you look at it and say, oh, this guy's in the decline or anything, 26 years old. This is probably just a even keel season situation, new situation. You would guess now he'll be in a second year with the Pacers that he'll kind of gel better with some of the players. And who knows if Lance will come back or if Lance will be back in the lineup or where Lance will be playing minutes-wise. You know, I think that definitely brought down Joseph's numbers overall, playing with a player like Lance a lot, playing with a lot of Al Jefferson sometimes, Corey Booker, and then the season guys who didn't stretch the floor that well, preventing him really from doing what he does best. Joseph's best ability is kind of being that over-presence in a, you know, slash and kick offense where he can keep kicking the ball around and things like that. That was kind of his bread and butter with the 13-14 Spurs first. But having Kojo back is good for the Pacers and really good for their development, I would say, as a roster into sort of a cohesive lineup. So Kevin Pritchard spoke to the Fort Wayne Gazette, I want to say, just about kind of the future of the Pacers. One of his first interviews really since the end of season interviews. Talked about the future and, you know, how the Pacers want Thad Young back and they want to kind of build this chemistry and how he thinks Sabonis and Turner can play together. Well, I'll talk more about that on Monday with Tony. We'll have a longer podcast, more in depth, when we hit the Turner Sabonis thing. But he does have a good point, Pritchard does, and that's the idea of bringing back the same guys, building this chemistry, building this cohesion that over time, you know, can really lead to more success. Sort of, I have to say, it's like punching above your weight, essentially, where that's a boxing term, but where maybe on paper, I think Boston's a great example of this, of guys who on paper are not the most talented, are not the best players on the court, but because they've had two or three seasons together, they have this chemistry, they understand the spots where guys play best, along with good coaching, this helps, and it creates kind of a team that plays better than they should be. And that was the Pacers all regular season long, where on paper, I think they were probably, I mean, I think once Oladipo kind of emerged, they were probably as good as should have been, as good as Washington, a 45-win team. But they became a 48-win team and really should have been a 50-win team if not for a couple or a bad stretch in late March, early February. So that's where I kind of look at it, is the Pacers, they bring back the same roster. Pacers kind of preaching that idea of kind of building a chemistry and continuity because they did have really good chemistry. You know, I can only get you so far. Talent at the end of the day wins. But chemistry is important, especially for a team who probably can't win a championship but wants to make the Eastern Conference Finals probably their next goal. I would say that's probably the Pacers' goal, is win a playoff round, win two playoff rounds. And Joseph can help do that for sure because he can come off the bench, he can provide defense. If he can, you know, continue to shoot the ball at about 35% three-point percentage, maybe even slightly uptick. He shot 36 with the Spurs one season. That would really help him. He could be more of a stretch guy. I mean, it was hard for him to offensively justify playing him just because Darren Collison was so good. Collison, I mean, I mentioned before, like a 46% three-point range is just unbelievable. I know he didn't take that many threes, but still incredible. Where Joseph, just, you can't justify that to Joseph, but Joseph needs to get his offense numbers up just a tiny bit, or Collison probably come back to earth maybe next season. That's that combination of both could lead to more minutes for Joseph. But really, you saw early season, mid-season, Joseph played a lot of the closing time minutes in games they led because he's a better defensive player. He provides that. He is a nice little fit next to Oladipo. Especially if you play Oladipo plays point guard, Joseph can kind of sit there and play defense on one end and somewhat stretch the floor on the other end. But I think that he fits well. I don't think he'll be the starter of this team, barring, you know, some weird thing where Darren Collison leaves or they trade Collison or something like that. I doubt they'll trade Collison. It sounds like I said, Pritchard wants to keep the same roster, bring the same roster back. So unless they trade Collison and maybe get a younger guy and try to build him and Joseph kind of be the stopgap. But if I had a bet, Joseph is going to be the backup point guard next year. Well, he's going to be back, like, assuming that he will be back next year. And then going forward, we'll see. You know, it depends how expensive he gets, cap space, things like that. I mean, Joseph, at a reasonable rate, you know, $8 million a year is probably about what he's worth, you know, worth paying. Probably his stats and formulas, if you have some formula based on his overall stats, $8 million is what he's worth. But, you know, I don't see them needing to overpay for him, and I think a lot of it also depends on what happens with Thad Young. But there is like kind of this out there possibility you could build kind of a core around him, Oladipo, Glenn Robinson, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner. That's technically five players. I don't really know where Joseph would probably be the bench point guard still off that unit, but he could definitely become kind of your long-term sixth man. He was that kind of that way in Toronto. He was definitely that way in San Antonio. He's a really solid backup point guard because he just sort of doesn't turn over the ball a ton and brings kind of a stability and consistency because of his basketball IQ. If I had to take a guess on Corey Joseph, I would say that he probably doesn't return in two seasons. I'm just guessing just because I think he'll probably play himself into a better contract in two seasons. And, you know, it depends where the Pacers are in their development. But he could easily have a fantastic year and they decide they want to keep making him the starting point guard. I mean, I could see that too. There's just a range of possibilities with him. But if I had to take a guess right now, I'd say one more year with the Pacers, then probably leave. Pacers find another backup point guard somewhere. Maybe they go to their big-name point guard. If free agency, you know, Kemba will be a free agent in next year. That could be a possibility. Some guy like that, I think. And I think Jamie Joseph probably is a casualty of a cap space move, whatever. And they have to bring in some young, cheap guy to play point guard. I think with Oladipo's future, maybe playing point guard, there's the possibility Joseph guy gets pushed to the back. But like I said, he's a great defensive player, which really helps no matter what. You know, you need to, especially in the East now, you need two good defensive guards to guard the Walls, the Beals, the Kyries, the Hayward duos. I mean, there's a bunch of guard duos, Lowry, DeRozan. He's needed for that kind of situation. So he has value in the East especially. I mean, even the West, they've got a lot of good guard duos. So he has value in this league. It's just one, whether he wants to be back in Indiana after next season, depending on, you know, where they are progression-wise and are they competing for championship? Does Joseph go to a championship roster? You know, he already has one ring, but he's the kind of player that really fits in. He's kind of the piece that you want as like your seventh or sixth guy on a championship team. He's that good. He's that kind of piece. So, like I said, if I had to guess, he'd play himself into a better contract for next season. But who knows? We'll see what happens with him. Like I said, he's only 26 years old, so he has, you know, still room to grow. It's not like he's a set player. You know, I think he can still get a little better point percentage. I think he had a little bit of down year shooting, to be honest. I think he can get back to maybe the 45%. Field goal percentage, I know in San Antonio he had a 50% year, but that, you know, that's San Antonio and the shot selections are different. But, you know, he might get better shots depending on how the Pacers, what lines he plays in. If he plays more in the Collison spot, if they try to go really small with three guards, Collison, him, and Oladipo, I could see that happening. Just some unique lines he could be in that where he'd get more shots and better looks because he won't be as double teamed or as guarded as much. Like I said in this podcast about four or five minutes ago, Tony and I will be back on Monday to talk all things Pacers, do our weekly show, probably half an hour long. We'll discuss Pritchard stuff, the first pre-draft workouts for Pacers, who they might have coming up in their draft. Again, we'll preview a little bit of who we think they should take, and probably NBA Finals will be over by then, if I had to guess. They're probably going to end on Friday night, but we'll see. I think the Warriors sweep the Cavs, but we'll find out. You'll probably know that by the time this podcast, or it'll be the day of the game, so you'll listen to this that night. We'll see what happens tonight then. But that's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me at FreemanAdam5. I did just start an internship at the Naples Daily News, so there might be some more Naples stuff on my Twitter feed, but I promise 3 Pacer articles a week and probably plenty of Pacer content during free agency, especially during the season. May up my Twitter game. I don't know. I've kind of been lazy with it, but I might try to get more into tweeting about the Pacers and getting involved in some of the kind of major stories. That's it for this Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.